You see, here's the difference. See, we're talking about how to study the Bible, and you can listen and you can hear and you can read, you can even memorize, you can have knowledge. But has it been applied? You know, this is where the rubber meets the road. What does it do for you in those hard times, in those trials, and those crisis situations of life? Do you really apply what you know? Do you really believe the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ that he'll get you through some of the hard times? I love the story in the Old Testament of Esther, you know, and it says, for such a time as this, who knows, you know, and I think you're here this morning for such a time as this, and to hear Trish as she comes to share and be in prayer for her and for Ed, and as she shares, you know, this is practicality, this is the book of James, putting it into practice what they believe in their faith. Not just hearers of the Word of God, but doers of the Word of God. Okay, Trish, come on up.
I'll be okay. I laughed with Paula yesterday because I had given up giving my testimony. Not about the situation, but in the past, I've been a Christian all my life. And we went to a small Baptist church in Alaska, just a tiny little church. And on Sunday nights, sometimes they would have us give our testimony. And sometimes I would feel led to do that. And my family always knew I would stand up. I wasn't in a pulpit or anything, but I would stand up and go, I couldn't ever pull it together. I'd do that for 5 minutes, and everybody knew that's what I did. And I don't have a pretty cry. It's not fair. So I had just said, Lord, you will not be having me do that again. Don't ever say that. So if I have to stop and pull it together, just give me a moment. My name is Trisha, and my husband Ed is here. We've been coming to the church for a while, but we've been back and forth to Alaska, so a lot of you may not have a face to the name. But I just wanted to thank you for praying about a year ago for me, and the prayers were felt. All week it has been upon my heart that, in meeting a lot of you guys through the directory, doing the pictures for the directory, that everybody in this auditorium is going through something. Either you're in the middle of it, and I just want to look at you all. Either you're in the middle of it, you've just come through it, or you're going to go through it. Because God promises that. But he also promises to be there for us. And that is what I want to share today. God's greatness and goodness through the really tough stuff. I don't know what you're going through, but I can only imagine. And we walk in this auditorium a lot of times, and we put on the happy face. How are you doing today? We're doing really well. But I know a lot of you guys have stories. We all have stories, don't we? We do. We all have stories. And to God be the glory today. To God be the glory. I don't stand up here as a strong person. If you knew me, you know I was the weakest person in the world. But God can still use that. And I'm so grateful for his power. He is strong. He is strong, and he will provide for you during those really difficult times in your life. He will show up, people. Have you ever read something that just hit you and you processed it, but you processed it for a long time? I have a really, really, really bad memory. But there have been a few things in my life that have stuck with me. For one is King David in the Bible. That whole story had always just kind of rumbled around. How could he be a man after God's own heart? And I really studied, and I still just had this kind of, I don't get it, but God, you do, and I just am fascinated by the story of King David. But also the story of It Is Well With My Soul, that great hymn. Years ago, I had heard the story. Do many of you guys know the story behind the writing of that one, It Is Well With My Soul? Okay, I am terrible with details, and I just get little pieces of it, and that's what sticks in my brain, so forgive me. I may get his name wrong. I'll give you a little bit of it. Horatio Stafford wrote it, I think. that story got me, and it always just was like, Lord, you know I am way too weak for that. How did that man go get through that time, really? How does a person get through times like that? The story is he was a wealthy lawyer, well-to-do in Chicago, and he was married, and they lost their son to scarlet fever, I believe, and it was just traumatic for them. And then it was during the Chicago, the fire, that he lost most of his wealth because he was in real estate and he was also an attorney, from what I understand. And then I believe he was working with D.L. Moody and they were going to England. So they were supposed to board a ship and go to England as a family. So they were grieving the loss of their son and their livelihood, basically, when they were getting on this ship. And something called him back. He had to leave, and his family, his four daughters and his wife were going on. That ship went down. And he lost his four daughters. His wife survived. And so he made the journey to be with his wife in England. And on that journey, the ship went over the place where his daughters had lost their lives. And that is when he penned, "It is well with my soul." Some of you may understand that. I did it for a long time. Where do you get that type of praise for God and his provision in a time like that? And dear God, don't do that to me, please. But that beautiful song comes out of that great tragedy. And in a time of great loss and sorrow, he was able to say, "It is well with my soul," because God gave that to him. I want to share just a little bit about the last couple of years of our lives. Everybody has stuff, right? We all have stuff. We have good stuff, we have bad stuff, we have ugly stuff, but it's all mixed together and it's life, right? So even the good stuff can be stressful. In the last couple of years for us, we've had moves. We moved to Alaska, back to Alaska, to Alaska, back to Alaska. We've sold 100 houses or more. No, it just feels like it. We've remodeled. We've had kids graduating, marrying, having children of their own, all really good things. But it has just been a little chaotic, as many people's lives are. And so going through all of that and the missing your kids, just everything, life gets busy, right? So I'm only going to tell this because it ties in, but a couple of years ago, I woke up, I'm fairly young, and I woke up one morning not feeling well. I was home by myself. My husband worked in Alaska for 3 weeks on and 3 weeks off. In the oil field, but I was home alone, and I woke up one morning not feeling very well. I want to keep this part of the story short, so I woke up not feeling very well, and I ended up calling. I passed out and called the paramedics. I felt really silly. I'm like, "Oh, don't take me. It's okay. Just leave me. I'm okay." They're like, "You need to go in." So I went into the emergency room and then proceeded to flatline two more times there in the ER, and in turn, I needed a pacemaker. Because my heart was not beating properly. And in that, my brother and sister, who I didn't get together with very much, came from different parts of the country, and also my mother got to come be with me. And in that process of going in and out of consciousness and my heart stopping for 20 seconds or longer and then reviving me, I was totally at peace. I would have never imagined that. Are we fearful of death? Are we? I kind of was, but I didn't really think about it because I didn't think that much about it at that point in my life. But I just had an utter peace that God gave me. And I was so grateful for that experience, that God was there with me and he walked with me through the valley of the shadow of death, and he does. So my mom and my sister and my brother came and stayed with me, and it was a beautiful time. It was also a time that we brought up some things from childhood that hadn't been talked about, and it was a difficult time, but it was a turning point for my mom. I just want to say that. I won't get into a lot of details, but even though it was really good, and I was so grateful to be together, and we have some great pictures from that time. So that being said, all this other stuff is going on. I want to tell you a little bit about my family. If you look at middle class in the dictionary, it's my family. Middle class, the family that I grew up in. My dad was a pastor. My mom was a paralegal. I have a brother and a sister. Just good old middle class. And as all families, we all have issues, right? But middle class is what we were. But in recent years, my mom and dad had had failing health, and I know some of you might really register for you that you kind of trade places and you become the parents of your parents. Well, my dad had been ill for many years, and he was kind of declining in health. My mom was a spitfire, 100 pounds, but went 100 miles an hour, but she had RA, and she had a real bout with it a few years ago, so I went and helped her. So in turn, it kind of turned to where I was somewhat parenting her, and in that process, I felt like her protector, subconsciously. I just felt like I was here on earth to protect her, and also, you know, your children. You feel like God has put you here to be their protector. That's not right, but that's how I felt. And at the same time, I'm bringing this up because it all ties in. My daughter was kind of having a hard time and going through some stuff. And as a mom or parent, you might understand how difficult that is. And God showed me through that time that I sat on my couch one day when she was gone and she just said, I'm not living here anymore and I'm going to do what I want to do. And my mom's heart was just dying inside. And I sat down and I just said, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm at the end of my rope. And I just said, God, I can't do it. And he said, girl, I love her more than you do. I made her. She's mine. I got it. And, you know, I just handed that over to him. And I said, Lord, whatever it takes, the most important thing in this child's life is her relationship with you, Lord. And whatever circumstances you place her in, Lord, I place that in your hands. And that's a hard thing for a parent to do, but I had such peace in my heart through that. Not 30 minutes later, that child was at my door, crying, saying, Mom, I can't do it anymore. This is what's happened to me. And I just embraced her, and so there's God's goodness again. God has just proven himself over and over and over again to us, and we need to recount those stories. So that had happened, and still subconsciously, I still had this, I got to protect these people in my life. I got to protect these people in my life. So I'm in late spring or late winter, early spring of 2013. I had gone to Alaska where my parents lived to help them out a little bit. I got a call from my mom. Saying that after 51 years of marriage, she was going to divorce my dad. As you can imagine, it was a hard, hard time. I didn't understand it, but I knew there was warfare going on there. And people, we got it all around us every single day, don't we? So I'd gone up there to help them for a couple of weeks, and I came back, and Ed and I were trying to get our house on the market to go back to Alaska to be with my parents and to help them out and be her protector. And we were working very diligently to get our house on the market, to be up there with them, right? You always work diligently on those houses, but he's a saint. He's a saint. So So we had a family in our church that my parents had known, and I had grown up with this boy and their kids, and they were like brothers and sisters to me. Well, during this time that I was up there in Alaska, this family, their son had also, his wife had asked for a divorce, and so my dad was counseling this young man. And that young man stood in front of his wife on, I'm looking for children, stood in front of his wife on May 15th of 2013 within a foot of her and blew his brains out. My parents were there. Well, not there, but there with the family thereafter. I just am setting up what's coming. It was so sad and such a loss. We were all grieving this beautiful young man that just felt like he didn't have anything to live for. And in that day, sitting there with the machines going, and Mom and Dad, my dad had been a state trooper and a homicide investigator and had seen some gruesome things in his life, and supposedly had suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, had seen this young man laying there just gory. They were only sustaining his life to harvest organs. And in that room, my dad said, "It should have been me." We knew that. My mom called me, and we were trying to do what we could to help Dad. But I was told that there's really nothing you could do. I asked him, I said, "Should we Baker Act you?" And that means to hospitalize him against his will. And he said no, he would be okay. So Tuesday, May 28th, my husband and I were running around like most people with their heads cut off, trying to get our house ready to put on the market. The realtor was coming in the morning so we could get back up to Alaska and be with my parents. And I was running back and forth to stores, and I was just so frustrated. Just so frustrated with the tile in the bathroom. I was frustrated that I couldn't find a light bulb when my mom called. I was in Home Depot. My mom called me at about 2:30. And she said, I wasn't going to answer her call, but I decided to pick up, and my mom said, "Tricia, I just want you to know," in her fast way, "that your dad's going to be okay. He's going to try to get to Florida." And I said, okay, Mom." I said, Mom, hold on. And she wouldn't stop talking. I'm like, "Mom, hold on. I got to talk to somebody. I got to find a light bulb. I got to find this light bulb, Mom. It's important. I got to get the right one." And she just kept talking over me. I'm like, "Mom." I'm usually not that sure with my mom, but I'd had it. I'm like, "Mom, I'm trying to get this light bulb." So that conversation ended. She finally stopped, and I got my help, and I'm like rolling my eyes at the guy going, "Mom, on the phone. Jeez. Settle down." I needed to settle down. Well, my mom ended up telling me, so we kind of got into just a little conversation after I find that light bulb I was trying to discuss with her. I talked to her the day before, and there were some things that I talked to her about that I thought that God had led me to tell her, and that was really difficult. I just said, "Mom, you know, I believe that God has great blessings for you, but I think that this is what God's calling you to do." And she said, "I'm not going to do it. I don't think I can." And my last words to my mom were, "Well, I think that's poison to you." I had a precious, precious, precious mother. She was the most giving, wasn't she? The most giving, loving, precious soul you've ever met. A godly, 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 godly woman. Serving others. Her life, her entire life was giving to others above and beyond. Never stopped. In pain and whatever, she just went. She just did it for the Lord. And at that moment, there was a huge battle going on. And as I came today to give this testimony in the last couple of days, when God has something for us to do, Satan doesn't like it. Does he? He doesn't like it. He wants us to get all rattled. And he knows. He knows what's going to get us. He's going to send those fiery darts at us. And as I prepared for this in the last couple of days, let me tell you, Satan knows what gets to us. And every single one of those things was here. I can't live without sleep. I don't know about you, but I'm a horrid person without sleep. Have I been able to sleep? Weirdest things. I've had to sleep in the same room with my grandchild that goes like this every 5 seconds. There's no sleeping going on. Tell me that wasn't straight from Satan. Not that my child's straight from Satan, but right? Whew. God, I need my sleep. I'm not human without it. And that's what's been happening the last couple of days. And I just, this isn't in and of myself. It was from God. And I wanted God to be heard. And I wanted myself out of the way. And there was these things. I just say that because it happens. It happens in our lives. But God is bigger and greater than that. To God be the glory. And he will have the glory for this. So I talked to my mom at about 2:30, gone home, ran around, did some running around, decided that the stuff that was supposed to get done was not going to get done that day, and so be it. So on my way, I'd gone to Walmart later that evening, and as I was pulling out of Walmart, I had really been struggling with how to handle Shawnee's death, the tragicness of his death. And I saw something on a windshield, and I can't remember what it said. But at that moment, I thought, you know, I just smiled, and I thought, praise you, Lord, you will get the glory for this death. Excuse me. And I didn't know how that was going to come about, but for some reason, I had a peace about me like I hadn't had in a while. That was just really getting on. That was really, I was mourning that little loss of that young man. I just loved him like a brother. So I pulled out of Walmart, and there was that sign, and I looked at it, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Blocks down later, I am sitting at the stoplight, turning up onto the truck route in PA. In PA, turning left onto the truck route, I was the first one in line. The light had just turned, so I stopped. And don't get onto me. I picked up my phone. I picked up my phone, and I opened Facebook because, you know, Facebook. And the picture that I saw, the first story was a news story, and this was the picture. Above that picture, the caption was, double murder of elderly couple on Skyline Drive, details to follow. That's a picture of my parents' side yard right there. That black vehicle is where my parents laid in a ditch. They laid in a ditch. This is my dad's hanky that was in his pocket that day. This is his watch and my mom's bracelets from that day that they were wearing. I'm sitting at a stoplight in Port Angeles. I see this picture. Of course, your brain doesn't let you process that. I sat there for a minute, and I thought, that's my parents' side yard. And then I thought, I'm a cuckoo bird. I'm just one of those people who goes off on, woo, and I get all upset about something, and it's so not true. I'm like, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm not going to be the cuckoo bird. So I waited for a minute. I threw my phone down. I waited for a minute, and I'm like, I turned through that red light. I turned right through it and started driving up the road. And I was like, that isn't my parents. That's something else. That's so weird. But that's not my parents. And so I fumbled driving, trying to punch in I couldn't figure out how to type in a phone number. I couldn't figure out how to get my mom's number up. But I thought, if I call her, then I'll talk to her and I'll know it's okay. I called my mom and went straight to voicemail. Picked up, I thought, okay, I'll call Dad, because that was just a fluke. That's very weird, but that was a fluke, so I picked up my, Dad's went straight to voicemail. Driving up the truck route, I knew both of my parents were gone. It was super traumatic, as you can imagine. I ran home, threw my phone at my husband, said, figure it out, because something is going on, man. Something is going on. I sat down on the porch. I said, Lord, I know it's not true. And people were driving by. I said, I'm going to have to tell them that I was a cuckoo bird just sitting on my porch, just screaming and crying back and forth, and that I was just being cuckoo. He came back and grabbed me. I screamed. I said, God. I said, Ed, tell me it isn't true. Tell me it's not true. Tell me it's not true. And he said, he grabbed me and he said, I can't. They're gone. They're gone. And I lost it. I lost it. We had hardwood floors. I threw myself down on the ground. I pounded my head into the ground. I pounded my arms so hard my rings fell off. I said, God, no, no, it can't be true. Give me my mom. Where's my mom? It can't be true. Please tell me it's not true. But what it was. The story that came out was that my dad, my mom, in that phone conversation, I told my mom to go see my dad that day. I said, you go see him. You go check on him. You make sure he's okay. She said, okay, Trisha, I'll go. So it was a beautiful day in the 80s in Alaska. It had been a late snowy winter. It was horrible. She stopped by his house. She wouldn't go in. I'm assuming we're just piecing the pieces together. She wouldn't go into his house. Their house is just there to the left. She wouldn't go in, I'm assuming. And I think my dad snapped. Something was said. I don't know what happened. My dad went into the house and got a gun. His guns had been taken away from him the week prior, or weeks prior. A friend had come and taken them. My dad had gone to the doctor that week and asked that he be hospitalized. He said, I can't do it anymore. The doctor said, I'm not going to do that. They'll take your guns from you. Go home. You'll be okay. The doctor gave him massive amounts of antidepressants and anti-anxiety pills. That day he had chosen not to take those because he had to go to the grocery store. And he couldn't drive when he was on the anti-anxiety pills. So, like I said, when I talked to my mom, I said, Mom, just go over there and check on him. At least do that. So she had pulled up, didn't go in. We believe he went into the house, grabbed a gun, came back out. I don't know if she realized what was happening or not. But my precious little mom was running down the driveway, trying to get to the road to get away from him, when he leveled the gun on her car and shot her four times and shot her twice. One hitting her in the back and puncturing her lung. One of my mom's scariest things in the world to her was suffocating because she had throat issues. My mom slept sitting up for years because she was so scared. And that fact right there could have put me in the ground, that my mom died in a ditch, drowning in her own blood. My dad apparently snapped, did that, went and grabbed her and drug her to the road, and then put a gun to his own head and shot himself. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? This middle-class family, do you imagine? My dad had spoke. He had preached on Sunday, and he killed her on a Tuesday. I don't have all the answers, but God, in over a year, has let me know that it's okay that I don't have all the answers because he is sovereign. So that night I found this out. We were piecing all the pieces together. One of my daughters was in Alaska, and all I wanted to do was get to my child. My daughter came over, my husband was with me. We were trying to get to Alaska. So that night they took me to the ER. I wasn't doing well. I was falling apart. Typical me, and as anybody might in that situation. Losing my mind, believing that I would never be okay again, that I needed to get on. I just would never be okay again. I didn't see recovering from this in any way, shape, or form. So the next morning, we got a flight to Alaska, and we were driving to Seattle. And my husband was driving. My daughter and her son and her husband were in the car. We're all kind of numb. And that song, It Is Well With My Soul, popped into my head. And the most astounding peace that you can ever imagine washed over me. This frantic, crazy, out of control person. I knew that God was there with me. And I knew at that moment, I understood it is well with my soul. Not in and of myself, but only from the power of God. And that is why I'm here to say today, that no matter what you're going through, and we all go through things, that God will be there. And if we can open up our hands in that moment of sorrow or pain to God, and say, oh, that's the last time we were together when I had my heart. I just had a pacemaker put in. I'm the baby, you can see. That's my beautiful, 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 beautiful mama. That's our family growing up. anyways, in the middle of that tragedy, if we can say, if we can open our hands in praise, the miracle happens, and God says he will fill you and be your strength. And he will, people. I'm here to tell you, he will. He will be there with you no matter what you're going through, and I know you are, or you will be, or you have, right? You have. And in that moment, it is well with my soul. We sang it together in the car. God's power and peace came over us. And I have to say, I'm the most unforgiving person on the planet that God ever made, and he knew that. He knew that when I was born, and I've struggled with a big struggle. Crazy things, things I shouldn't even be upset about. I hold on to that. I hold on to that. And there was this one person in my life God had been letting me have this battle with for years. And I'm like, Lord, now come on, just make her nice. Make her nice. God finally showed me I got to look back at myself. And I got to go, I'm a wretch. I'm just as bad as she is. And I had started praying for that person. And God has started healing me from that hatred and that bitterness and that unforgiveness. And God knew that I needed that. And at this moment, he gave me the miraculous healing of forgiveness from my dad. Instantaneously. Oh, people, that is not in and of my old wretched self. That was straight from God. And I pray that if any of you are having that struggle, that somebody has hurt you so badly, that you can go, Lord, take it from me and pray for that person. God says, pray for that person. Pray for your enemies. He doesn't say, well, just be okay with them. He says, pray for them. Pray for good for them. So God gave me utter forgiveness from my dad. I'm not going to say that the days that came after that were not difficult. My dad and I had had a hard relationship, and he was a hard man. And but God, again, has proven himself faithful. And I love my dad. And I feel for him that those were his last moments. And so we arrived in Alaska. We stayed at their house. The troopers were walking us through what had happened. I found my mom's glasses in the woods. I dropped down on that ground, and I wanted that ground to suck me up. Suck me up. She was a paralegal. There's my mom. She's so beautiful. And you know, somebody came and picked me up that day. The man who had just lost his son to suicide literally picked me up off the ground and said, it's going to be okay. That is what God does in our lives. He wants to use us to help those who have suffered. And I just want to challenge everybody here to be that person that picks somebody else up off the ground, because we know God's faithfulness. And even in his pain, he was able to pick me up off the ground. And I'm going really long, sorry. This has not been an easy year and a half, or a little over a year. But back to the car, in that moment when that song, It Is Well With My Soul, I understood the meaning of that and God's goodness in that time of great sorrow. He also said, I will have the glory for this great tragedy. How does that happen? And I just said, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. I hope that this has been an encouragement to you, and that in whatever you're going through, that you understand that there will be trials and sorrows on this earth, this side of heaven, but God is enough. God will get you through. There will always be trials, but I also hope that in the midst of those, that you can open your hands and praise to God, not in and of your own power, but through God, and receive that miracle from God of his strength and his love and his kindness and his goodness in the middle of yuck. We're Christians. We have a great, powerful, mighty God, and I hope that we take advantage of that in our daily lives. Also, if you're going through those trials, as humans, we want answers, don't we? We want answers. God has personally given our family some answers, a few, but not a lot, and that really tore me up for a while. God, why? A man who'd given his life to the Lord, a woman who had given her life. I don't know. I don't know what battle was going on there, but we are in a battle. As Christians, we are in a battle. And God is good. We may not always do the right thing, but God can use that for his glory. And so I challenge you in the hard times with the yuck, and maybe you're not getting the answers you want. Maybe your heart just goes, tell me why, God. Why? Why? Why do I battle this? Why am I so lonely? Why do I have this hurt? Why is my child rebelling? Why do I have this sickness? And why did I lose everything I own, my finances, my house, my livelihood? Why did I lose that, Lord? And he just wants you to know that he is sovereign and he can use that for your good and his glory. I want you to know, too, that this right here is your life. This is your life preserver, your life saver. Pick it up every single day. Because we're in a battle. We're in a battle on this earth, and this is our power. And God is our power. And know those verses, because they will sustain you. And I pray that for every single person in this audience today, that God may have the glory in your life and in your story, and that we can take off the masks and be real people. And thank you for listening. And I just pray that to God be the glory.
That's precious. I think we wanted to sing that song in there because that's sweet, Scott.
Let's try to sing this song. Thank you.
Faith that works. I mean, think about it. People, there is nothing else except the creator of this universe, God himself, that gives us that kind of strength and his presence during those days. So let's go ahead and continue in a time of invitation. Let's pray. And just if you'd like to come down and pray, and maybe you're going through something, and this just really spoke to your heart this morning, we'll be down here to pray with you, or you can just come to the altar and pray. You can pray where you're at. But that's where our strength comes from. Maybe it's time to come back to the Lord. Okay? Sometimes things happen to wake us up in our need for a Savior. Lord, we pray for your guidance now in this time, and each one present is here not by accident, by your degree. Lord, your knowledge, you know the hearts of every one of us here. You know what each person is going through. You know the needs. You know the past. You know the future. Lord, and we know your presence. We don't know the future, but we know the one who holds the future. And Lord, we know the hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by you. And we just pray your will be done even now as we pray in your name. Amen.
Refresh my heart, Lord. Fresh. my heart. You set me apart, Lord, to make me new. By your Spirit, lift me up, Lord, refresh my heart.
So many things involved in Trisha's testimony, but Lord, your strength and comfort and everything from being able to forgive others to knowing that we can't live with all the answers, but we can live the one who gives us hope and gives us strength, Lord, to live for you and to the one who has a plan for this life and the life to come. And even as the Apostle Paul said, there's so much we can't see and we don't understand. But Lord, your creative ability far exceeds what we see and feel in this life, Lord. And we thank you most of all for your love, your forgiveness, for the giving of your Son, for our sins, for the hope of glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Trish. Very moving. And I thank you for stories like that where we can all identify with that. It's exactly like as Pastor has shared with us, it's either coming or it's we're in it, or we've gone through it, and we can identify with it. So, but as she said, to God be the glory. You know, what do people go through when they don't have a rock? And so I want to change our closing song, Mike. Let's change. Let's as we take our offering, let's all stand. There's no soloist this morning, but let's sing that again. When I think about the Lord. How he saved me, how he healed me to the uttermost. I think that speaks most to Trisha's story. How he heals us to the uttermost, even after going through things like this. The story's different for all of us, but he is our Savior. He's our rock. We can trust in him. Let's sing that as we close. Just a verse and a chorus.
About the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, when he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout. It makes me want to shout.
We'll do the subdued version there. But it does. Thank you so much, Trish. And thank you all for coming this morning. You are dismissed.
Thank you. Celebrate you. We worship you not only with our mouths and with our hands clapping and feet dancing, but Lord, we even worship you on our instruments tonight. Oh yeah. Oh, prophesy.